Blog Talk. Good morning, everyone. We once again, Week 13 National Football League. Yours truly, Vinny Moore on the wheels. All right, we got to check things. We need to make sure we're in good space here. So I'll tell you what we're going to do. Let's make sure that all these settings are right, guys, because I need to be sure they hear me. Today was an absolute amazing day in college football. For those of you who are waking up this morning and didn't know or didn't follow what the heck happened yesterday, oh, did you miss something special yesterday? Well, I'll tell you what. I know of the 50,000 fans that have followed us over the last 3 years, and heaven knows we really truly appreciate you guys. There's nothing more exciting than when all the marbles are on the table for a division win, a conference win, a national title, whatever it may be. There's nothing more exciting, more significant than when that is the case. And yesterday, for college football fans, they got just that. And while it was fun to watch Ohio State and Michigan come down to the wire and hoax two-point conversion and failed, Ohio State, you know, squeezes out the win 40-41. And, yeah, you can question his decisions left and right. Today, even though we're Week 13 National Football League, and you know how I am, I care completely about the NFL, and I'll make sure we spend plenty of time on that. But what happened in college football yesterday was nothing short of amazing. And if you haven't heard the incredible finish, the game is 28-28. Alabama's lining up for a 57-yard field goal. 57 yards to what would be simply win the game. And why do you play? You play to win the game, right? Well, for those of you who were watching the game, you know that there had been some issues with the kicker throughout the day. Matter of fact, I think he'd missed three or four. There were three he had missed. One was blocked. Two, he simply either hooked or shanked. Just a really rough day for that young man. And so they call in the backup kicker for this, you know, this portion of the game. Again, this is a significant piece because he just jeopardized Alabama State number one, where they're supposed to be, and everything's right in the world. But rather than me kind of dress it up for you, I want to take you to the Iron Bowl with literally 1 second left on the clock. This is what happened.
Mandel will hold it. Now they've officially made it 57 yards. Remember, a block kick can go the other way, too. You've got to be careful and get it up.
On the way. No, returned by Chris Davis. Davis goes left. Davis gets a block. Davis has another block. Chris Davis. No flags. Touchdown, Auburn, an answered prayer.
Gotta love this. If you haven't seen the highlights, go to ESPN.com or go to Auburn University website. It's all over. This immediately went viral, obviously. Absolutely nothing short of amazing. Nothing short of amazing. 90,000 fans. 90,000 plus fans charging to the field because Auburn, Auburn Tigers, has simply pulled the upset. 34-28 is your final. And with that said, let's get into your college football scoreboard yesterday. Again, the big shock, of course, being Alabama loses. The dynasty takes a hit on the jaw. There will probably, unless some really, really quirky things happen over the next week, Alabama will not be repeating as national champions. Auburn stuns Alabama with Chris Davis's field goal return, 100 yards, and I'm not even sure he was touched. He may have been touched by one player, which he literally shoulder shrugged off, and he was off to the races. And before you knew it, Auburn had stunned the college football world. But let's run it down. Let's look at some other great backstories going on in college sports. Number 24, Duke, a 27-25 winner over North Carolina. Of course, anytime Duke meets North Carolina, you immediately think basketball, but this was football. Number 22, UCLA takes care of USC, 35-14. Central Florida, 23-20 over South Florida. LSU, 31-27 win over Arkansas. Number 16, Fresno State loses to San Jose State, 62-52. That's a lot of points in a football game, 114 points. Penn State shocks with number 15, Wisconsin, 31-24. Western Michigan gets smoked by Northern Illinois University. That was kind of predicted. Oregon outlasts Oregon State 36-35. Arizona State puts 58 on Arizona, 58-21. Michigan State in a snoozer, 14-3 over Minnesota. Number 9, Baylor, 41-38 over TCU. That game was a lot more slighted to TCU at one point than the way it ended, obviously. Number 8, Stanford, 27, Notre Dame, 20. Pretty much predicted. Number 10, South Carolina, 31-17 win over number 6, Clemson. That'll help South Carolina. Number 5, Missouri, trying to stake its claim to the SEC, a 28-21 over Texas A&M. Number 3, Ohio State, ekes out the win, 42-41 over Michigan on that great defensive play on the two-point conversion. They win. Number 2, Florida State, now to be number 1, 37-7 over Florida. And, of course, number 4, Auburn beats number 1, Alabama, 34-28. And yeah, I keep watching this unlikely end. And, again, if you haven't seen it, you have to see how this ended. I mean, a 57-yard field goal, in most cases, if it took left hook, right, or short, the ball lands aimlessly, and the game goes to overtime. But Chris Davis, and maybe that'll be the name of the article, but Chris Davis pulls his best Devin Hester impression. I don't know if you guys remember back, and I think it was 06 in the time of the year the Bears actually went to the Super Bowl against the Colts. Hester did the same thing against the 49ers. Took a field goal miss out of the end zone and winds up returning it back for a touchdown. Chris Davis did just that with zero time left on that clock, and Auburn stuns the college football world. Again, just an amazing effort, an amazing play. Give those kids a tremendous amount of credit. So who should be number one now? Therein lies the question. Alabama will not be number one. Florida State certainly is in sight to be number one. Ohio State, should they be number two? Or does Auburn, the fourth-ranked Auburn Tigers, have they made enough of a statement now to usurp Ohio State and sit in that number two spot? It's going to get grimy tonight when these decisions are made. But what I think is going to happen, I'm going to tell you this is the Vinnie Moore perspective. Florida State goes to number one. Ohio State goes to number two. Okay? Now, number three should belong to Auburn. Should. Number four should belong to Missouri, and we'll see what happens in these conference championships. 1, 2, 3, and 4 should be relatively set. I don't see any smoke smoldering anywhere. Jameis Winston still in line to win a Heisman Trophy if he's not charged with a felony. But tell you what, and I'll say this, Jordan Lynch, the quarterback out of Northern Illinois University who graduated from Mount Carmel here in the Chicagoland area, has just as much of a right to that Heisman Trophy as Jameis Winston. He has done an amazing job with NIU this year. And I don't know that they've talked enough about his talents and his prowess. Anyway, so Missouri earns a bid to the SEC title game. Now, Missouri is going to play Auburn next week. Auburn's going to be sitting probably at number 3, Missouri at number 4. And you have the athletic director of Auburn now on television today saying that a one-loss Auburn team should get more love than an undefeated Ohio State team because the Big Ten is down, or an undefeated Florida State team because the ACC has struggled. I don't know where you weigh in on this, but I think it's kind of amazing. I really do. I think it's amazing that this is where we're at in the landscape of sports. The Big Ten is a seriously big conference and certainly should get the love it's deserving of. You just have to wonder whether or not the pundits and the voters are they really going to jump Ohio State if Ohio State's sitting at 3 with Auburn? Do they love the SEC? And it's been a widely believed fact that the SEC is the best football conference in college football. And you know what? You know, 8 national championships in the last 8 years is a pretty good claim. So where does Ohio State fit into all that? Well, the Big Ten is down. And that Ohio State team is the same team that gave up 35 points to Illinois, a team that is, you know, really, I wouldn't even call them second tier. That's probably one of the lowest rungs of developing programs in college football right now. So there is an argument to be made. There's an argument to be had. And, well, I don't know what side you land on, but I'd love to hear from you. 619-6947, again, 619-6947-4747. Or hit us up on the site if you want to chat about something, by all means. Hit me up and let's have a conversation about why you feel the way you feel, whether you're passionate or just one of those. Maybe you don't care, and that's great too. 619-639-4747. I've got friends all the way up there to the Great Northern Territories, and amazingly enough, a few of them actually chime in and have perspectives on these things. Of course, a lot of them want to know why 90,000 people would attend a college football game. Well, if you've never been to Alabama, if you've never been to the state and known how passionate, football is life. It is. In that state, football is life. Bama, this goes all the way back to the days of Paul Bear Bryant. You can fast forward all the way to the days of Tommy Tuberville. The success a couple of years ago of Cam Newton taking Auburn to a national title. The bottom line is SEC college football, they have a great claim. They could be that is the best conference in college football, bar none. Many times we've often said that some of those college teams could probably play with some of the pros. Well, I'm not on that necessary side of the equation, but the fact is that's just good, hard-nosed football. They develop great talent. They send a ton of kids to the highest level of this game in the National Football League. So why not? Why not? I don't know. You know, again, as most of you know from my conversation in the past, my son is a huge Ohio State fan. Even though he never went to school there, never played there, he's just been an Ohio State fan for a very long time. And the harsh reality is you've got Urban Meyer as the coach of that program who's won back-to-back national titles with Florida. The team has been undefeated last year, even though they were sanctioned. They couldn't go to bowl games. They're undefeated again this year. And I think it's going to be very, very difficult to deny Ohio State in all other circumstances would be, you know, their rightful place. I mean, they play in a big conference. They're undefeated. Yes, the conference is down for a couple of years. But, again, they go play Michigan State in the Big Ten Championship next week. Now, if Michigan State steps up, takes care of business, we've got another bracket buster. And anything, and I mean anything, is possible. That's the fun things about college football. So there's a little thing called basketball going on. And absolutely seemingly today, no one, and I mean no one seems to give two cares about the NBA or Major League Baseball right now. And, you know, is Kobe going to come back? Well, let's get you some updates on that. I have no news that he returned Friday night. I mean, this coming Friday. I'm sorry. That's right. Kobe Bryant could return Friday in Sacramento if he feels ready after weeks and weeks of practice. So he's been practicing. It would be nice to see Kobe Bryant back on, but he's got a lot of wear and tear for such a young man on that body. He started his NBA career at 17 or 18 years of age. Now in his 30s, his body is simply, well, just doesn't take it the same as to, obviously. And in that same vein, for Bulls fans, I know it's going to be rough. You've lost Derrick Rose once again. The knee injury last Friday against Portland. Bulls fans are just having to suck it up after, a rough night last night against Cleveland. Guys, I know it's hard, but I trust that Tom Thibodeau will get as much out of those players and that team as he possibly can. So, and while we're talking NBA, let's run down some of the standings and see what may be relevant to you, if anything. Indiana's 15-1. How about that? Best team in the NBA at this point at 15-1. Miami's 13-3. Atlanta 9-9. Toronto 6-9. The Washington Wizards are 8-9, Charlotte 8-9. Of course, it's early, 15, 16 games in the season. You know, the top eight are going to turn over quite a bit. And the East looks like it's just bad. The West, San Antonio, Portland, Oklahoma City, LA Clippers, the Rockets, the Denver Nuggets, Dallas Mavs, and the Los Angeles Lakers, even at 9-8, would be the playoffs right now. The Lakers have won the last two. And that just may be excitement around the potential return of Kobe. Just outside that window is Golden State and Phoenix. So a lot of fun things going on in the West. The West is right now the stronger of the two conferences. We won't talk about Utah 3-15. All right. Let's get to the National Hockey League. And let's talk standings here because a lot of fun things are happening with hockey right now. If you are a Calgary Flames fan, as I am, it's still a little tough to watch, but you are getting better. You're 9-13. Well, You're ahead of where you were last year. Again, the young talent, they're playing better. Coming off of the most recent win, let's run down your leadership in hockey right now. So in the Atlantic, you've got Boston 7-10, Tampa at 16-9, Montreal 15-9, and the Red Wings at 13-7. The Red Wings are surging. They've won three straight. Pittsburgh 18-9, looking like the Penguins of last year. Washington 14-11, you know, only a couple of games behind. The Rangers 14-13. Jersey's at 511-11, but they're coming off two back-to-back wins. The Western Conference right now is largely dominated by two teams: the Chicago Blackhawks at 20-4, and the St. Louis Blues at 18-4. Colorado was the sexy pick earlier on. They're 19-6 now, so they're still definitely in the hunt after winning the last two. Minnesota 15-8. I mean, those top four teams in the Western Conference, the Central Division, really, really strong. Really, really strong. And Nashville 13-11. So, you know, again, there's a lot of hockey to play. It's going to be some fun times. Matter of fact, there isn't a team in that division. There's not a team in that division below 500. How shocking is that? All right. Of course, LA 18-3. 18-7, LA 16-7, Phoenix 15-7, Vancouver 13-10, and then of course the Flames 9-13. It would not surprise me, based on some of the splits I see, Vancouver should get hot at some point. San Jose is very, very consistent right now. I need the Calgary Flames to simply get hot. I really do. And if I need to, maybe I need to take a trip back to Calgary because I haven't been there since October. I have a conversation with some of the pundits and leadership there. But it was, again, I still believe in the Calgary Flames. I believe in what they're trying to do and what they're trying to build. The game is just so fast now. And it is a game of not only skills but great hand-eye coordination, great reaction. That puck can get up to 130, 140 miles an hour. And when it's laying flat, you know, well, then it's doable. When that thing is rolling, boy, is that it's a sight to see, because you just don't quite have a line on where that shot's going to go when it's rolling, like a lot of times it has been. Anyway, so that's it for your NHL standings and your NHL love. Anything going on in Philly baseball? Phil Hughes agrees to a 3-year deal with the Minnesota Twins. Robinson Cano and the Yankees are about $80 million apart on that new deal. And this probably could have qualified for News of the Weird, but Big Poppy's beer. Big Poppy, David Ortiz from the Boston Red Sox, has shaved the beard and has sold the beard for $11,000. Now, I say this could qualify as News of the Weird simply because that's weird. Who sells the beard for 11 stacks? David Ortiz. It's that simple. David Ortiz does. So there you go. Yankees are Yankees, Cubs are Cubs, and Big Poppy is selling his beard. Wow. I don't know if Robinson Cano will get the money he's seeking for as far as his new deal, but the Yankees really got to figure a way to keep him happy. So, yeah, that's a talented young man. All right, Week 13 National Football League. It is upon us, all right? I don't know what your plan is for the day. Hopefully you've got, you know, this is one of the latter days for your grill to be up and running. But week 13 with playoff implications. You ready for that one? All right. So let's see. As I'm going down the wonderful pundits and picks, week 13 picks in the National Football League. We did not do event picks this week simply because we just didn't have time, so we'll do them for you right now. All right. These are picks based on today's 1 o'clock and late games as well as in the weekend. Now, you already know from Thanksgiving that Green Bay took it on the chin. Detroit just put a whooping on them. All right. You already know Dallas took care of business, and you already know that Baltimore took care of Pittsburgh. But what you don't know is what's about to happen today. So here you go. All right. Biggest early contest, Carolina and Tampa Bay getting it on. Do not sleep on this contest. Tampa Bay's defense has been outstanding the last 3 weeks, forcing 9 turnovers with only Ryan Tannehill surpassing an 80 passer rating. And won't be a doormat in the same vein as the two Mats have against the Bucks. Ryan and Stafford were forced into mistakes by Tampa's secondary, but neither has Newton's playmaking ability when all hell breaks loose. Not to mention, but well mentioned, this game is in Carolina. Offensively, the Bucs will need to keep the Panthers honest by running the football, something they could not do in Detroit. They won by forcing turnovers, and as much as Carolina runs the football 48% of the time, we don't see Tampa getting the necessary takeaways to win this. The pick, Carolina 21. Tampa Bay stays close, but loses with only 17 points. Jacksonville at Cleveland. This game should challenge Broncos-Colts for the most watched game of the season, or not. Here's the only way the Jaguars win in Cleveland. Run the football and don't let Josh Gordon go wild. Jacksonville's secondary played well in Houston but had a poor season overall. The unit's numbers would be worse if teams weren't running out the clock late in the fourth quarter so often. The Browns are just throw the football on. Running passes are completed less than 60% of their throws and averaging 5.92 yards per attempt. That is low. About the only thing Joe Hayden and company isn't doing is forcing interceptions. They'll need to pick off Chad Henne at least once to provide their offense with a shortened field. The running game is such that the Browns quarterbacks are being forced to throw. Close your eyes and hope the best when that happens. Browns 31, Jacksonville 14. I like Cleveland. I do. I think they're actually moving in the right direction. All right. Tennessee at Indianapolis. Rebound game for Andrew Luck and the Colts. Now let's be careful about defying Luck, who was somewhat of a media darling. Yeah, he's got the looks and everything else. Well, without Reggie Wayne. But that doesn't mean the passing game should slide into the toilet bowl like it did at the University of Phoenix Stadium when Luck was clearly offline. Wait for it. For Ryan Fitzpatrick, that's the Tennessee quarterback. Getting the ball out, the Colts are sure to lean on the home crowd as much as they like. That doesn't make any sense. What, did I write that? I might have. Anyway, bottom line is Colts win 29, Titans 24. All right, moving on. My boys, Bears at Minnesota playing the Vikings and Adrian Peterson. For all their injuries, for all the Josh McCown football you thought you'd never see, and for the love of God, allowing the Rams 41 points, the Bears sit with the Lions atop the NFC North. Granted, Detroit has the tiebreakers, but this deal is far from over. Call this a must-win for Chicago versus a weak Minnesota squad. Problem is, the Bears can't stop the run, and Adrian Peterson is coming off a big game. AD rattled off 210 yards, 154, 212, 86, and 199 respectively in his final five games of the season. He'll finish. If Chicago is to finish the season strong, it will be by forcing takeaways. Christian Ponder didn't turn it over last week. Something has to give. Chicago, Minnesota, Bears 24, 22. And yes, I'm a homer. All right, Dolphins at New York Jets. We know the Dolphins are playing better, but they won't be able to run the ball on New York, you know, making Ryan Tannehill the focal point of the game. The Jets have looked terrible as of late, but they're at home, where they've gone 4-1. That one loss came at the hands of the Ben Roethlisberger Pittsburgh Steelers. Big Ben can make plays out of the pocket and has an incredible presence of mind when protection breaks down. Tannehill, not so much. For the Jets, Geno Smith has to take what the defense gives him, including not forcing throws. Let the defense win the game. The matchup, watch, is the New York ground game versus the Miami's defense or the defensive line. In the end, Jets 14, Dolphins 10. Maybe a bit of a snooze or so. You know, you may want to get some liquor for that one. Get your mind off that slow pace. Anyway, Arizona headed to Philadelphia to play the Eagles. Nick Foles' interception streak comes to an end. If there is one contest on Week 13 slate, that could go. Either way, it's Cardinals at Eagles at the link. Who wins will likely be determined by which quarterback makes the big turnover. Foles has been nearly flawless, at least when it comes to ball security. Facing an Arizona defense that has 15 interceptions, tied for third in the NFL, will pose a challenge to the second-year pro. Carson Palmer has been almost error-free over the last two games, and if you broaden that out to four games, his numbers read very, very well. 8 touchdowns with 2 interceptions and a passer rating well north of 100. This is a game that Chip Kelly might want to go tempo because LeSean McCoy will have trouble against a rested Arizona front that has allowed the fewest rushing yards in the NFC, 81.3 yards a game. In the end, not the posterior, but in the end, Arizona, that's right, I said it, Arizona 26, Chip Kelly's Eagles 24. Ugh, can't believe I'm going this way, but I love Arizona in that game. All right, the New England Patriots Texans. Oh, talk about a letdown game. Back in the spring, this was a sexy matchup that figured to play a role in the AFC race for home field advantage. The way the Texans are playing, they probably want to run away from home. First of all, they've dropped 2 straight in Houston to the Raiders and the Jags. The freaking Raiders and the Jags? Oakland started a rookie quarterback who wasn't even drafted, and Jacksonville is, well, Jacksonville. The Texans made both those teams look like Bill Parcells' ground and pound clubs. Now New England comes to town, and as if Tom Brady wasn't enough, the rushing attack is averaging 125.9 yards per game. We don't want to be negative Nancy's here, but a 9-game losing streak in tow, it's hard to put any faith in the Texans pulling off an upset here. In the end, New England 34, Houston 17. Hmm. 619-639-4747. 619-639-4747. The Atlanta Falcons go to Buffalo. So how much of a home field advantage do the Buffalo Bills have in Toronto? That's right, Redskins played North Bay. That's what I thought. That's what makes this game more difficult to pick. Hey, maybe fans will be fired up from some Bryan Adams and some Gordon Lightfoot pregame music. Yeah. The reality is it sure would help a Bills team that has a very winnable matchup and rabid fans behind it. The Falcons are struggling badly, even when they play well, as they did for most of last Thursday night's game against the Saints. They're overmatched. Matt Ryan is pressing, and his receivers aren't making big plays for him. Harry Douglas is having himself a fine season, but the fact is his quarterback needs someone else to step up. Expecting the Bills pass rush to have a field day, they enter with 37 sacks, tied for the most in the league. In the end, we're going to go to Buffalo, 23, the lowly Falcons, 21. The Rams head to West Coast, San Francisco. No calling a safety. How about a tie? Nope. Don't have the necessary cojones. A Rams win? Don't like these guys on the road, even though they have two road victories. They won in Indianapolis, where turnovers and special teams won the day. They did the same in Houston, where turnovers were again the story. The 49ers just don't give the ball away. Colin Kaepernick has thrown just 7 interceptions all season long, in part because he doesn't throw the ball much. Actually, neither of these clubs give the ball away. So it comes down to talent and location. Kellen Clemens has yet to establish himself as a threat in this league, and while San Francisco's wideouts have struggled, St. Louis receivers are worse. Expect a slugfest with a 60 rushing attempt game from both parts. San Francisco probably ekes this one out, 17. That is a 4:05 start, so, get all your good lunches. And for those of you still working on your Thanksgiving leftovers, enjoy them today. Broncos in Kansas State. Be prepared for a lot of running. Denver gashed New England last week and ran into trouble when trying to force some pick plays, rubs in all those routes out of a bunch of formations. Kansas City will want to limit Peyton Manning's possessions and not expose a pass rush devoid of Tom Bali and Justin Houston by pounding Jamaal Charles. Now, I know what you're thinking. Why should the Broncos run if those sack artists aren't there? Because Ali and Houston don't suck against the ground game either, especially Houston. Denver can make hay with Knowshon Moreno running to his left. Otherwise, we don't anticipate Alex Smith keeping up with Peyton Manning in a shootout. But the Chiefs quarterback should. He may actually run 10 times in this game. Make the Broncos respected. That's right, make them respected. But in the end, Denver 30, Kansas City 21. Ugh. I got to be honest with you, it was hard for me to say that because I like Kansas City at home, but I just think Peyton Manning and those guys are going to be too much for them today. Cincinnati at San Diego. You want to know if the Bills are real? And this is the game they need to win. On paper, Cincinnati is better than San Diego. The difference is quarterback play. And the fact the Bengals have to travel, you see, they've been solid at Paul Brown Stadium, winning every game they've played there this season. Marvin Lewis Club, however, is 2-4 on the road, with losses to the Bears, Browns, Dolphins, and Ravens. Both their road wins came in overtime, so we'll take the Chargers, who recently dropped some key road games in the waning moments, but got back on track last week at Arrowhead, handing Kansas City its first home loss of the season. The Bengals will have to do a great job handing Antonio Gates and Danny Woodhead in coverage, who both have 59 catches. I think they'll struggle. All right. Let's take a quick break here. Why are we taking a break? Well, because we need to, number one. Let's do. We said we wanted to do this. It's 10:34, 34 past the hour, and we really want to have fun. I don't know if this is going to work. I want to try. Sorry. In a lot of our competitive In a lot of our shows that are not only entertainment shows, sports shows, otherwise, there's a comedy break. I wanted to bring a comedy break into this one. So, if you'll allow me the indulgence, and I hope this works, this is our first ever comedy break.
Oh, man. How you all doing? Y'all all right?
Yeah.
You're looking at me like I'm going to follow you. I'm not going to follow you. You're looking like, Lord, please don't let him fall right now. If I fall, who going to pick me up? Nobody. Y'all be standing across the street. That fat dude fell over there. White people don't want to help you. Are you okay? Black people don't help you. I don't know him that good. Black people step right up. Excuse me, let me get right here, please. Oh, I'm glad to see white people here. Oh, my God. I love white people, man. They pay on time. You know what I'm saying? White person writes you a check, you can take it to the bank in the morning. Brother writes you a check, he gonna post date the next Friday. Look you straight in the eye. Say, if you go in that Thursday, the money won't be there. But white people can fire you from a job and still be smiling. You hear me? This lady fired me one day. I'm sorry, I gotta let you go. If you need a good reference, tell them to give me a call. I say, reference? I'm thinking about setting this place on fire. And white people are happy early in the morning. They say, good morning, good morning. How are you? Good morning. Good morning, good morning. Hi, Dave. How are you? Black people are not happy early in the morning. You get the black person, good morning. Yeah, go on. I got a hangover. Leave me alone. Now leave me alone. But I like white people because they let you know when stuff's going to happen. Like if somebody's going to hit me in the head with a stick right now, white person's jumping up. Hey, watch yourself. He's going to hit you with that stick right there. I can turn around and catch them. Black people don't talk about nothing. They don't let you know nothing. They'll talk among each other, but they won't say nothing to you. Black people sit right now. Look, he's been hit him with that stick. He's been hit him. Bam! I told you. I told you you're going to hit him in the head. Didn't I tell you? But white people always use for the love of God when something happens. You ever notice that? For the love of God. Black people use Jesus. Because there's power in the name Jesus. Am I right? You can leave here tonight. Your car starts sliding. Black person, say, Jesus, come straighten up. White people leave here tonight. Car starts sliding. For the love of, boom. Knock the wall down. So start using Jesus. It'll work for you. Because white people take chances. I don't know why. White people don't catch on to nothing. They can go home tonight. Garage door open. The kitchen door is wide open. They sitting in the car trying to guess. I wonder who left that door open. The brother in the house leaving lit in the back door. He's just looking. They walk in the house. I left it open. Lay down. For the love of God. The brother be like, shut up and say Jesus. So I like white people. It's the rednecks I'm scared of. Oh, my God. I'm from Atlanta. You know what I'm saying? They are down there. You understand? If you go in a black club in Atlanta and a white person walk in, black people don't say nothing because we don't care. But if you go in a redneck club and a brother walk in, the music will stop. As soon as you walk in, ding, 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 ding. Who let you in here? Somebody killed the doorman because he's slipping. Rednecks or something else. They got a chain of restaurants in Atlanta that rednecks go in. You know, how you doing, old pretty good. You can tell when they don't like what black people the way they speak. You walk in, hey, how you doing? Yep. When you hear that yep, that means get out of there. You understand what I'm saying? And they always drive a Ford truck. You know what I'm saying? I wouldn't take nothing but a Ford. F-O-R-D, period. Ain't nothing like a Ford. I wouldn't drive a Chevrolet because I can't spell it. And black people, quit lying about your job titles, okay? Lady next door to me, oh, man. She told me she was a computer programmer. I get to the gas station, she's talking about 1006, 1006. I'm just looking at her, 1006? I thought she was a computer programmer. What you think I'm doing? A guy next door to me, he's a maintenance engineer. I'm like, oh my God, he has a good job. You know what I'm saying? I get to the grocery store, he buffing floors. You know, it's kind of like, it's kind of warm in here. Is it warm in here? I'm kind of sweating like a pimp with one hole. You know what I mean? When I fly all the time, I had to fly first class because, you know, I'm a big boy, you know what I'm saying? So every time I'm in first class, people that know me, I always walk by and be speaking like, hey, Bruce, you know. So normally white people don't know who I am, you know what I'm saying? So I was sitting next to this one guy, and he's looking at me like, God, everybody's speaking to him, you know? So he said, look here, buddy.
I ain't getting in your business, but I'm looking at you and everybody's speaking to you, so you got to be somebody.
So when they don't know who I am, I'm like, you don't know who I am? You're like, no. I said, I'm a male stripper. He's like, you kidding? I said, yeah. He said, what's your stage name? I said, Stretch Marks. He was calling me at the whole flight, look here, Stretch Marks. I'm going to go to the restroom. I'll be right back. Because you know at the airport now, they do all type of random searches. Everybody knows this. Anybody fly know what I'm talking about. I have to fly all the time. So they can just pick you out of the line like, I need to check your bag. There's nothing you can do. If you don't let them check it, you're not flying, you know? So a lady picked me out. I was flying from L.A. to here. She said, I need to do a random search on you. I said, yes, ma'am. And she looked at my bag. She get real loud. What you doing with all these Subway sandwiches? You know, I tried to be cool. You know what I'm saying? I said, I get hungry between flights. You know what I'm saying? Then she get real loud. 26 Subway. I said, 26? This supposed to be 28. Somebody done got me for two sandwiches, you know? You know how it is, man. You know how it is when you're big. I got a cousin a little bit bigger than me. Yeah, yeah. He's a big dude, y'all, for real. He went and bought a 1999 Ford Escort. He came to my house, let's go get something to eat. I said, where am I sitting? He said, I get in the front, you get in the back. I said, damn it, let's ride. We're going down the street, car like it's full of people. Everybody, man, look at all them people in that car. Police pulled us up. All six of y'all get out. Oh, I'm sorry. I thought those six people drive on. This joke, but you'll see somebody so big when they're eating, they be humming. You know what I'm talking about? We was in a restaurant. He like, then he gave out a breath. I said, you all right? Yeah. He big, too. Every time he think we're going to eat, he start dancing. We'll be at home. I said, man, I'm going to get something to eat. He be like, you know you big when you go to the mall and you see somebody bigger than you, you be like, my God. Or when somebody, or you know you big when somebody big say, damn. What did you eat? Big people be walking by the food court.
And that is Bruce Bruce on our comedy break. Oh, funny man. If you ever get a chance to check out Bruce Bruce, wherever he's performing, that is one of the best shows you will see. It'll definitely lighten up your day regardless of what's going on in your world. In the meantime, to my people up north, the areas of Airdrie, Red Deer, Calgary, I love you and there's nothing you can do about it. You know who you are. In the meantime, for those of you in great north, so what's that? Well, really north. Great eastern coastlines of Virginia, Carolinas, all the way down to Florida. I love your family, and there's nothing you can do about it. Be safe out there. I know the weather's kind of turning. It's a little squirrely out there. We've seen some really, really crazy weather situations over the last few months. Just take care of yourselves. I want you all happy and healthy. And for everyone who can hear me, happy holidays to all of you. Hopefully you didn't spit the wit on Black Friday, spending it all on one day. Hopefully you've got some left in reserve. Remember, you've got to feed all those guests as you get closer and closer to the holidays. All right. Now, let me get my complaint and my gripe out of the way right now before we get to the Stone Cold Lead Pipe Locks and some more fun stuff today. We still got News of the Weird we've got to do, which is always amazing. All right, check this out. So this past week, I have had trips down to my hometown of Galesburg, Illinois, trips around the wonderful state of Illinois, only to find out that cell towers in this holiday season seem to be having a tremendous amount of issues. A tremendous amount. Now, I understand it's Illinois, and we tend to be flatlands, and there are a lot of dead zones from time to time, but I am really, really stunned at the poor performance not only of my own cell phone service provider, but many others this year. I have seen more dropped calls. I have seen calls you're trying to make that aren't getting through. I've even seen now emails off my phone that seem to be dying and lost in cyberspace. And what I usually get back is, hey, where's my stuff? Hey, where's this? Where's that? So to everyone, I either owe you a text message or an email, and there's been some type of failure or flaw, I now have an out. I do. I have it out now. I can blame it on the towers. I can blame it on the services. And they can't do anything except suck it up and take it because it's been bad. All right. I got an email this morning from someone looking for something for me that I sent them last night. And obviously they didn't get it. So, I mean, I had no problem resending it again. But the fact is, I shouldn't have had to. So, suck it up, shut up, and I'll get my pay. It doesn't make you look good when you know you've done something on behalf of somebody and they leave you hanging. All right? All right? We straight? All right. We good, guys? We're almost good? All right. All right. So we have Stone Cold Lead Pipe Locks on deck. We have News of the Weird. And the News of the Weird is always fun. And I have no idea exactly where we're going today. I think it's going to be interesting. It's always interesting. If you get a chance to get out to Fox website, there's a bunch of weird holiday gift buying. It's always fun. Let's see. All right. You know what? Let's do that now. Let's do the News of the Weird now that we Stone Cold Lead Pipe Locks, because I know you just can't wait for that. And we're going to do this raw, which means it has not been heard. All right. So, without any further ado, often imitated but never duplicated, Vinnie Moore's News of the Weird. The fastest 60 minutes of sports presents Vinnie Moore's News of the Weird. Really? All right. You know, we still haven't got any background music for this segment, guys. All right, anyway. Here we go. News of the Weird Week 13 National Football League or December 1, depending on whichever one you want to buy into. The Family of Man. The Marvels of Science. The notorious white separatist, Craig Cobb, is currently soliciting like-skin people to move to his tiny town of Leith, North Dakota, population 16, to create a deluxe Caucasian enclave, but at the urging of a black TV host submitted to a DNA test in November to prove his lineage, 14% black, sub-Saharan African. He has vowed to try other DNA tests before confirming these results. Bobby Harper, previously Lee's only black resident, was gleeful. I knew there was another black person in town. In mid-November, Cobb was charged, along with an associate, with 7 counts of terrorism for walking menacingly through Leith wielding a long gun. How would you like to be a white separatist and have DNA prove that you're black? That's what you get. Family of Man. Let me read again. The Marvels of Science, the notorious white separatist, Craig Cobb, currently soliciting like-skinned people to move to his tiny town of Leith, North Dakota, population 16, to create a deluxe Caucasian enclave, but at the urging of a black TV host, submitted to a DNA test in November to prove his lineage and turned up 40% black. That's good stuff. That, my friends, is this week's News of the Weird. All right. Back to... I'm sorry. That's got to be rough, though. Forgetting everything else, that's got to be rough. All right. You're trying to be a white separatist. You're trying to keep the good old-fashioned Anglo-Saxon white America protected. And then you find out that you yourself... You ain't 100% period doggone self. Boy, that's got to suck. Well, anyway, I think that it's just funny, and there's nothing you can do about it. All right, Stone Cold Lead Pipe Locks, courtesy of our friends over at ESPN. Brought to you by Peak Antifreeze. When you peak, you win. Here we go. Week 13, National Football League. That's not the right file, guys. Hold on. That's not the right file. Give me the right file.
Give me the right file.
Give me the right file.
Give me the right file. Give me the right file.
What did we just do? Here we go. All right, Stone Cold Lead Pipe Locks. Now, this was done on Wednesday before Thanksgiving, so you may hear some things that have already been completed, i.e. Thanksgiving games, so put that aside. And here are your Stone Cold Lead Pipe Locks for Week 13, 2013.
These are the Stone Cold Lead Pipe Locks, an ESPN Radio exclusive.
Here we go for the Thanksgiving edition of the Locks.
It seems Thanksgiving Day is upon us.
And my motto this week is they just can't do this again. The Lions are too good.
Wait a minute. What is this with Lions?
They're the best team in the NFC North. They just don't play like it.
I cannot go to the Lions. Oh, no.
They got to get it together. They got to get their maturity level up. They got to play smart and stop making the stupid mistakes.
I knew I should have taken that left coin at Albuquerque.
And they should win this game at home against Green Bay. They should cover the 5.5, and they should win the NFC North.
Why should I give thanks on Thanksgiving? What have I got to be thankful for?
I'll give them one more shot. I'll take the Lions and give the point.
Oh, my God.
This one's not hard for me at all. I'm going to Dallas as we do for Thanksgiving all the time.
I haven't even finished eating all my Halloween candy.
They're giving 9.5 to Oakland. I know that's a lot of points, and I know Oakland has looked good at times.
We're supposed to be served a real Thanksgiving dinner.
But I think Dallas, at some point, they have to start to go on a little roll, and Romo and Dez Bryant are really hitting it off.
Don't you know anything about Thanksgiving dinners?
I just like the way they're going right now. God help me for saying that, because that's when they let you down the most.
A lot of turkeys don't make it through Thanksgiving.
But I'm going to take Dallas, and I'm going to give you the 9.5.
I guess he thought he could save the day by turning the rest of the turkeys loose.
And then finally, a big one in the AFC wildcard picture. I like the Ravens at home giving 3.
You know, let's turn it back on a football, guys.
Oh, no, enough.
I don't think watching television was the Pilgrims' original intent when they created the holiday.
These teams played a great game earlier this season. We were there in Pittsburgh for that, and the Steelers came away with a win.
Just remember that revenge is a dish best served cold.
I think the Ravens' running game is coming together. Their defense was dominant, albeit against the Jets this past week. They're only giving 3 points at home. I'll give it. Give me Flacco and the Ravens at home. I'll give the field goal.
Ours was the first country in the world to make a national holiday to give thanks.
And I'll take the Pittsburgh and the 3 for almost the same reason that you said about Baltimore. The running game's coming along a little well. Ben Roethlisberger has really been very good the last couple of weeks.
Throws it long down the left sideline, Brown's open, and that's a Pittsburgh Steelers touchdown.
And the defense, which has been awful at the beginning of the year, is starting to get to the quarterback.
All it's going to take is your complete cooperation, absolute secrecy, and plenty live turkeys.
It's starting to get more turnovers, and so I think they're more hitting their stride now than they have through the entire season. So give me Pittsburgh and give me the 3.
As God is my witness, I thought turkeys could fly.
And those are your Thanksgiving Stone Cold Lead Pipebox.
Thanksgiving is this family's favorite holiday. Wait, it's not?
No way. Check the rankings. It goes my birthday, Christmas, Halloween,
Easter,
Hanukkah,
Snow Day,
Bath Night,
Black Friday, then Thanksgiving.
Love Black Friday.
Black Friday before Thanksgiving?
Yeah!
Wow, the mic just didn't come back on. Okay. That's week 13, Stone Cold Lead 5 Locks, courtesy of our friends over at ESPN. I love that Bob's Burger reference, the which days are more important than others. That's good stuff. All right. Six minutes left in the ride. And again, the news of the day, actually the news of the weekend, still comes down to the call. That is Auburn shocking the college football world, beating Alabama with no time left on the clock. And what did it sound like? Well, it kind of sounded, let's see, kind of like this.
Mandel will hold it. Now they've officially made it 57 yards. Remember, a block kick can go the other way, too. You've got to be careful and get it up. On the way. No, returned by Chris Davis. Davis goes left. Davis gets a block. Davis has another block. Chris Davis. No flags. Touchdown. Auburn. An answered prayer.
And there you have it, an answered prayer, as it's called. If you did not see the ending of that game, and again, I know a lot of you guys have your loves of hockey, you know, football, pro football. Yes, it was a college game. 90,000 people jammed into Auburn Tiger Stadium and witnessed a Donnybrook, a game that started off 7-0 Alabama, 7-7, 14-7, 21-7, 21-14. 21-21, 28-21, 28-28, and all of a sudden, the game's on the line. You know, Nick Saban, in his infinite wisdom, decides to go for a 57-yard field goal at the end of the game to attempt to win the game. And there's backfiring, and then there's what happened to Alabama. You kick it, the ball is short. Chris Davis, who without a doubt is Auburn's hero for the next few months, takes this kickoff return. Again, it's not even a kick. It's a field goal, a missed shortened field goal return. And did his Devin Hester impression from a couple of years ago. And he takes this ball 100 yards back to the other end zone with no time left on the clock. Auburn has shocked the college football world, upset number one Alabama, upset the BCS ranking system. So what happens now to 2, 3, 4, and 5? Normally you just say, well, they just all move up. The problem is, where do you put Alabama? Because whether you like the team or not, that's still the best team in the land that just simply had a bad moment. And that bad moment may have actually cost them a shot at the third national title in 3 seasons. But it is what it is, and you play the game on the field, so why not? Why not, ladies and gentlemen? So should number 4 Auburn jump all the way to number 1? What about undefeated number 2 Florida State? What about undefeated number 3 Ohio State? Because right now, it looks like Florida State would go to 1, Ohio State would go to 2, and those two teams would play for the national championship. The problem is, how far down does Alabama fall? And remember, it was only number 4 that beat them, so Auburn probably goes to 3. Alabama probably lines up in the 4, which would be a slap against Missouri, who's sitting there at number 5 without any love whatsoever because they won 28-21. But I don't think you can drop Alabama below Missouri. I don't. I think Alabama only falls to 4. I think Missouri has an argument. SEC football is still the best conference in the land for football, no matter what. The slight, which is actually a slap against the Big Ten, where Ohio State plays, is that conference has been really, really weak. This is an Ohio State team that gave up 35 points to a really bad Illinois squad early in the season. The coaches haven't forgotten that, and the computers know this. So, without a playoff system, which doesn't start till next year, we got a bit of a quandary on our hands, ladies and gentlemen. Who's number 1 or who's number 2? Does Auburn jump Ohio State and get number 2? It'll come down to coaches' votings and some computers. But that is an actual legitimate possibility. And, yes, Ohio State would have an absolute right to bitch and moan and complain. They played a solid game yesterday against a tough, hard-nosed Michigan squad. And if not for Michigan's desire to try to win it in regulation, that game goes into overtime, and you never know who's going to win that game. And again, if Ohio State loses to Michigan, which certainly was a possibility, if that two-point conversion is successfully completed, then what do you put Ohio State? Because Alabama and Ohio State could conceivably have been gone from the possibility of it. Now you've got a Florida State team sitting there number 1. Auburn then definitely would be number 2, and I know this is going to weigh into some of the voting of the coaches. Auburn would jump to 2, and that would be your national title game, except for the fact that there's still a week of football left. Conference championship next weekend. Ohio State has to take care of Michigan State, and more importantly, Auburn. Auburn must take care of business next week. They have to. And I believe it's against Missouri. It's tremendous dynamics, tremendous fun. We don't know how this is really going to play out. We just don't. All we know is this. It's going to be a lot of fun. And we love you, and there's nothing you can do about it. And that's going to wind it up for this weekend. It's going to be fun. For those of you in the Middle Earth, Chicagoland, Bears and Vikings in about an hour. We are the pregame show before the pregame shows. If you're looking for your Fox affiliates for your NFC games, if you're looking for your AFC games, you're looking at your CBS affiliate. Enjoy your day. Get everything off the grill. It should be done by now. Otherwise, you've really screwed the pooch. Hopefully, you haven't. But if you're preparing something fun for lunch, something healthy, maybe some good salmon, maybe some good brown rice, do what you do. In the meantime, all those of you north of the border, I love you, and there's nothing you can do about it. For those of you in Middle Earth and all over the United States, thank you for being part of what is now becoming the fastest 60 Minutes in Sports, the truest show, and one of the most popular shows. For those of you who missed most of it, don't worry. You'll get an email or a text saying you can listen to the rebroadcast of this show right after we're done here today. Have yourself a great Sunday. Take care, everybody. We'll see you next time on the fastest 60 Minutes in Sports. I'm Vinny Moore. Good day.